Join Jeremy Pearsons today on the Believer's Voice of Victory as he illustrates how kindness and patience are the master keys that will unlock the favor of God in your life. There is no clearer picture of patience and kindness than Jesus himself.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons. I've been so excited to be your host all this week. If you've missed any broadcasts leading up to this point, go to kcm.org. You can download them. You can stream them absolutely free. Get caught up with us. We've been in the Word of God, and I believe it's changing lives. Let's pray. We'll get right back into the Word. Father, again today, we love you, Lord, and we magnify you. We thank you, Father, that we have your Word to come to, your Word to lean on, to trust in. And I'm asking you once again, and believing that we receive eyes that see and ears that hear, hearts that understand, eyes that see Jesus, ears that hear his voice, the voice of our good shepherd who's leading us out of bondage and into freedom, and hearts that understand who we are in Jesus and who he is in us. We give you praise for this and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we started this week by looking at the kindness of God. And I know it sounds so simple, but when you're talking about the kindness of God, you're not just describing God, you're defining him. And I think that this has been relatively untapped in our study, in our lessons. We've really seen kindness as more just niceness. And well, yeah, that's probably something I could stand to be a little more kind. Yeah, okay. But when we think of it on that small of a level, then we're missing all the power that goes with it. And Proverbs chapter 3 has been our foundation this entire week. And it says, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. But the Bible says, never let it leave you. That means it should be with you always. Loyalty and kindness. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then, this is what will happen. If kindness has been tied around your neck, if kindness has been written deep in your heart, what will happen is you will find favor with both God and people. You're going to find favor. This is a key, if you will, that will unlock the favor of God in your life. And it's not just a key. I've talked about this before, and the picture that always comes to my mind is when Sarah and I at times will drive up to Arkansas, we'll go to my grandparents' prayer cabin up there to get away and go pray. We took our staff there not long ago. And every time you go to Arkansas, this is what we have to do. We go get the keys from Mimi or Papa or whoever's got them. And it's this big key ring and it's got lots of keys on it because you got the front gate key and you got the main house key and you got the shed key and the where they keep the fishing equipment and so on and so on and so on. The garage key. And there's all these keys on this ring. And every time I go, inevitably I stand at some point at some door going through keys. Now Papa is, he's organized and he's got most every one of those keys named. But if you ended up with somebody else's keys or ones that weren't his, you're going to stand there going key after key, trying to find which one fits this door. But you might know, have you ever heard of a master key? A master key is one key that fits every lock on any given piece of property. So out here, for example, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, lots of buildings, lots of doors, lots of locks. But somewhere, somebody, it ain't me, but somebody's got a master key that unlocks, one key unlocks every door on this place. That's what a master key does. And can I tell you, I believe that kindness is a master key. This is a key that unlocks favor, unlocks more of the grace of God on your life, and not just favor and grace with God, but favor and grace with men. Not only, I think, is this a master key, I believe it is the master's key. This is the key that Jesus used that drew people to him far and wide. And again, just to be able to walk out into a desert and people just find you. You read over and over, all the people came to him. He's in a house. There's so many people at the house, no one else can get in. They got to go on the roof and start digging holes in the roof to try to get the sick down in there. That's people being drawn to him. That's favor with people. The ability to preach day and night in a desert and nobody leave. Nothing to eat, nothing to drink, and everybody just hangs out. That's favor. People being drawn. It's because kindness is drawing power. God said through the prophet Jeremiah, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn you. This is a huge part of who God is and what God does and how He operates, because God is love. And according to 1 Corinthians 13, love is two things. Love is patient and love is kind. Now, the two things that most believers think that they can live without, a little bit of patience and, I could probably stand to have some more kindness. The two things that we have talked ourselves into saying, well, that's not really a part of my personality. I'm not really one to let the grass grow under my feet. I could be a little more patient. Sure, we could all be a little more kind. It's just, it's not really in my nature. I have kind of a different personality. If you want favor with people, you want increased favor with God, you better get a hold of this master key, because this is the one that unlocks the grace of God in your life. His kindness. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? But if God is love and love is kind, then God is kind. And if there's anything that you and I should be thankful that God is, it's God being patient and God being kind. And He has shown it to us over and over and over and over. And no clearer picture do we have of patience and kindness than that of Jesus Himself, the visible image of the invisible God, the very brightness of His glory. I'll tell you an example of this from my own life. I've got living proof now that feeding on the kindness of God, filling up in it and allowing it to overflow, I have seen this unlock favor in my life in ways that I never have. Because everything is a seed. Kindness is a seed. I sow kindness to my wife and my kids at home. I reap it from somebody I've never met. Kindness is a seed. See, for months now, since really the beginning of this year, this has been growing in us and feeding on the kindness of God, and not treating this as something, not looking at kindness and saying, oh, we got to be more kind. Sarah, we got to be more kind. See it in the Word. No, this is not laborsome. This is not something we're self-imposing. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, which means a seed has to be planted. For there to be fruit, there's got to first be a seed. And the seed was planted in you with the character and the DNA of God Himself and the Spirit of God planted in you and the love of God been shed abroad in your heart. What do you think He's doing in your heart? What's He in there doing? Writing kindness on your heart. And when that seed is planted and it's watered with the Word and it's given light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shines on it, what happens to seed? It grows and it develops and it grows and it grows and it grows, and soon it bears fruit. So the fruit of the Spirit, one of which is kindness, is not the result of you trying to be more kind. You can't produce your own fruit any more than you can take an apple and duct tape it to a stick and call that stick an apple tree. You can't do that. Why? That stick did not produce that apple. It had to come from the inside. Well, you can't produce kindness on your own by saying, oh, gotta be more kind, gotta be more kind, gotta be more kind. If that's your way of going about this, you're about to be the biggest jerk you have ever been to somebody. Because when you put yourself under law like that, the law will tell you what to do and you'll see what's right, but you won't have any ability to do it. On the other hand, if you'll put yourself under grace, put yourself under the grace of God and just get full of what He's done for you, what He's done in you, and just read over and over about how kind He's been, how kind He's been. I'm going to tell you this story, but listen, this is the way I want us to go about this. This is how you feed on His kindness. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 48, he said, "We have thought, O God, on Your loving kindness in the midst of Your temple." Preachers, pastors, do you know it would be good to every so often and very often to just in your congregations, say, we're going to take some time and just think on the kindness of God and just recite how kind He's been, the good things that He's done for you. Give testimony over and over of His kindness towards you, towards your people, towards your church. We have thought on your kindness, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. Just listen to some of these scriptures. I just want to read scripture to you about the kindness of God and watch what it does for you on the inside. Listen to this out of Psalm 51. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. I want you to notice in here how often you've got the kindness of God tied to the mercy of God. Notice this. In Psalm 69, verse 16, hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Did you know you can pray and God will hear you? Why? Because He's kind. Because kindness listens. You can pray, you can talk to God, and God will hear you because of this reason right here. He's kind. He's tender in His mercies towards you. Psalm 117, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples. Why? Because of His merciful kindness, it's great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. What reason do you and I have to praise the Lord? You and I have reason to shout. You and I have reasons to just lift our hands and get a little bit crazy. Why? Because He's kind. Because He's been so kind to us, because His mercy and His kindness endures, not His anger, not His judgment. It's His kindness. It's His mercy that endures forever. Psalm 103, you've heard this one before. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. This is one of His benefits. He has crowned you. This means He has set it on you. He didn't set His judgment on you. He didn't set condemnation on you. He set on you loving kindness, tender mercies. And this is one of His benefits. We benefit big time from His kindness. Listen out of Hosea chapter 2, verse 19. I will betroth you to me forever. This is the Lord speaking. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. God is marrying Himself to you, to us, His people. And He's saying, these are the vows of my marriage to you. I marry you, I betroth myself to you in loving kindness and in tender mercy. Isaiah 54, verse 10 says, the mountains will depart and the hills will be removed, but my kindness will not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. This is over and over and over. Lamentations 3, verse 22, it's because of the Lord's mercy and loving kindness that we are not consumed, because His tender compassions fail not. Jonah, even that moody prophet Jonah who tried to run from God, he said in chapter 4, verse 2, Jonah prayed and said, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. This is actually Jonah complaining. Because God sent him to preach that message in Nineveh, and he said, I don't want to go because you're not going to destroy those people. You're too kind. You are too kind. And people say that to each other, oh, you're too kind. But you know what? You can say it to God and mean it. You are too kind. You are too kind. And Jonah was actually upset about it. You know something's off when you're complaining to God about how kind He is. When you're complaining to God about how gracious and full of compassion you are. Even in his complaint, he had to acknowledge how merciful and how kind God is. And I said all that to tell you this. For months now, Sarah and I, in our home, in our ministry, we've been feeding on this and feeding on this. And we talked, remember at the beginning of this broadcast, talking about whatever you're full of, that's what's going to overflow out of you, and that's what people around you are going to receive. And I look at my home, and months ago, I look and I say, you know what, there could be more kindness in this home. Could you look at your house and say, there could be more kindness here? Well, how are we going to go about getting more kindness into this house? Are we going to sit down and threaten each other with punishment if we're not kind? Are we going to stand there and say, well, that wasn't kind, and point the finger at each other? No, that's not how it's going to come. The manifestation of kindness in our home is going to come by doing exactly what I just did with you. And it's just getting into the Word of God and finding out how kind He's been towards us, and let that fill up and overflow. And we're beginning to see it in our home. And it's such a glorious thing to begin to see it. It's such a cool thing to see our hearts just soften towards each other and soften towards our children. And I got two of the cutest kids you have ever seen. But if you've ever been the parent of a toddler, you know cute wears off. And there comes a time when you would trade cute for quiet. And your patience gets tested and your kindness gets tested. But I remember not long ago, just in the midst of this, studying it to preach it, studying it to live it, I remember looking at my son and watching him, just as a little four-year-old little boy. He was playing with another little kid or something, and I overheard something. I overheard that boy say something to Justice that kids say things, and it was not sweet. It wasn't kind. I think he said to him, "I'm not your friend," or something like that. And I looked at Justice. They didn't know I was watching, but I looked at Justice, and I watched my son's whole countenance just fall. I watched his head go down and his eyes get sad. And in that moment, I have a hard time talking about it now, because in that moment, I felt the tenderness of God the Father rise up on the inside of me. And what I felt for my son, I felt like my heart got opened to him in a way it hadn't been. And it was tenderness towards him. I love him with all my heart and have since the day he was born, more now than ever. But I felt it come to a new level. And I realized in an instant, this is it. This is the kindness of God rising up in me. This isn't just some natural daddy love for his son. This is the kindness of God rising and compassion towards him and wanting to fix that and wanting him to never go through that kind of hurt. This is what happens when you'll take the time as a family to feed on how kind He's been towards you. Your hearts will soften towards each other. Your words will soften towards each other. Now, I'm not saying we're there yet, but I can see marked growth in our family. I can see my heart softening more towards my wife, softening towards my kids. And it comes from feeding on this. And when that comes out in the overflow, you watch. This is a master key that's unlocking favor in your life. Not long ago, just a few weeks, in May of this year, we went as a team. We took Sarah and I and our whole ministry team, our entire staff, which was like four other people, and we went to preach in England. We were going to do a weekend of services in an awesome partner church of ours there, Faith Life Center in Manchester, England. And we were going to do service, and we went several days in advance. Because we were going to take pictures and gather images and stories for our new magazine that we're publishing. And so we were there days in advance of the meeting. We're there as a whole team, right? One day we get up and we say, we're going to take the train from Manchester. We're going to go down to London. We're going to take some pictures in London, just sort of feed on that culture and get it down on the inside of us, because we're asking for nations. And we're getting ready to go that day. And Sarah says, we better have our passports with us. So I take the passports, stuff them in the backpack, get my backpack on, get on the train, go to London. We're in London all day, hours and hours, and we get our pictures and we do everything. Get back on the train to come back to Manchester late that night. So we're on the train and we get back into Manchester. I think it was midnight the next day. Then we get back to the hotel. The next day we get up and we're getting ready to go to an afternoon tea with local pastors and ministers and friends that have come from other places. And I'm getting ready that morning and I just have this thought, I better check and see, and just make sure I know where those passports are. See, when I travel, especially when I travel outside the nation, I'm like Mr. Keep It In Its Box. I got to know where my passports are. I got to know where my tickets are. Keep everything right where it needs to go. And I open my backpack and my passports are gone. And I decided, don't panic. Maybe Sarah knows. Sarah, did you do anything with him? I didn't do anything with him. Okay, maybe somebody on our team knows. Did you? No, I hadn't seen him. So we're trying to get ready to go to this thing. I don't have time to look. So I said, okay, when I come back, I'm going to look. We go to this tea, have a great time with all the pastors, but somewhere in the back of my mind is this scratching, nagging thought, you better find those passports. You better find those passports, because now it's Friday. And if you have to replace passports, you got to leave on Tuesday. But Monday is a bank holiday, and all the embassy offices will be closed. So if you're going to do so, you got to do it today. And so finally, I leave that tea, and I'm thinking, I got to go find these passports. I'm walking into the hotel. And as I open the door, I won't forget this. I remember hearing it on the inside. I remember hearing the Lord say, just sit down and pray before you start tearing everything apart. Sit down and pray and then look. I'm in a hurry to get these things back. So I get back up to the room. I'm by myself. I sit down on the bed and I say, okay, pray. Okay, in Jesus' name, I call my passports back to me. Angels, go get them. I have eyes that see them. And that should do it. And I start tearing the place apart. So no faith in this prayer and nowhere near obedience to what he told me to do. I'm tearing the hotel room apart. The staff comes back. They're tearing the hotel room apart. We spend a good several hours looking. I go back with a buddy to the train station, looking in Lost and Found. Don't find it there. Meanwhile, somebody on our staff has contacted the U.S. Embassy in London and has a 7:45 a.m. Tuesday appointment. So we're going to have to leave Manchester early. And this is messing with me. You understand? So hours of looking and not finding it. Finally, I go back into the hotel room. Our whole staff is in the kitchen of the room. And I sit down on the bed by myself and I just get quiet like the Lord told me to do. And out of nowhere, I decide to pick up my phone, and this almost like it wasn't even me. I pick up my phone to check Twitter. Who checks Twitter in a moment like this? Well, I check Twitter and I notice I have a message and I look at it and it's from a guy I've never met that says, Jeremy, have you lost passports? Because I found them on a train in Manchester. This guy worked for the train company, and when the train left Manchester to go to the depot where it gets cleaned, he found it at 5 o'clock that morning. And instead of doing what is company policy, which is to turn them in, and I have it on good authority from somebody local that in their government, when somebody turns in passports, the first thing they do is cut them, because they're trying to prevent fraud and all of that. So instead of doing the company policy, he decides to hold on to them. Then I find out he's not even on Twitter. He looked me up online, created a Twitter account just to contact me and to let me know he'd found my passports. I write him back, yes, I lost passports. I had them back in my hand by that evening. Somebody shout favor. That is somebody going out of their way to do something for me that's not according to policy, that wouldn't normally be done. That's favor with men. Now, I didn't know this guy. This isn't somebody I had sown kindness into, but I'm filling up on the kindness of God. I'm filling up on this revelation, and I'm watching it unlock favor in my life. I got to meet this guy. I got to put some money in his hand and bless him. I got to pray with him. Look what happened, all because of a revelation of kindness. It unlocked favor in my life, and it's still doing it, and it will still do it for you. You want to unlock the grace of God? Tie kindness around your neck. You want to unlock favor with men? Write kindness deep within your heart. Sow it as a seed in your family and reap a harvest from some guy you've never met. And I guess the lesson learned is if I just sat there and prayed before I tore the whole place apart looking, I would have found out they were already found. That was the favor of God working for me. I didn't even know it. Fill up on these kinds of scriptures that we read today. Fill up on His kindness and watch His favor go to work in your life. I'm way out of time, but I'll be back in just a moment.
You have an unbreakable bond with God in the blood of Jesus that is full of love, kindness, and mercy. The Kindness and Mercy Package includes The Covenant Made in Blood, a CD series and study guide by Kenneth Copeland, and Welcome to the Love Show, a CD that reveals God's love for the world by Jeremy Pearsons. Covenant Made in Blood by Kenneth Copeland shows you the reality of God's unfailing promises to you, exercise the authority He has given you. Experience His protection. Be strengthened to overcome anything you're facing. Welcome to the Love Show by Jeremy Pearsons emphasizes why your breakthrough and victory draws others to God. Jesus shines, and His love is evident to others who are hurting, looking for answers, and seeking direction. Receive the life-changing blessings of your covenant with God today. Let kindness and mercy rule in your household. Order the Kindness and Mercy Package, receive the CDs and study guide for only $29.99 and enjoy a special savings of 25%. Simply log on to kcm.org/TV special and request your package today. Enjoy the peace that comes with knowing the blood of Jesus has reconciled you to God forever. For an additional 10% off, order your package online. Order today.
Covenant Made by Blood by Kenneth Copeland. This CD series and this study guide needs to be in the hands of everybody who's listening and watching to this broadcast right now. I'm telling you, these things are this important. Without this, we're not here. Without this, we have no fellowship, no relationship with God. But because of this, we have everything that we need. We have an unbreakable relationship with Him, and it's a bond of love so great that nothing can overcome it. And in this, I mean, you're going to find things, answers on how to raise your children, how to have a good marriage, how to be successful in your job and pay the bills that you have. Here's one, how to receive the healing that you need. It's not just somewhere out there. It's in the covenant that we have with Him. Amen. When you order this, you're also going to get Welcome to the Love Show. This is a new CD of mine that we're offering, a message that I preached in Manchester, England, that I just was so powerful in that service, and I wanted you to have it and be blessed by it. And I also want you to know about the Legacy Letter. This is a brand new magazine from our ministry, Pearson's Ministries. And you can see me and my wife there on the front. Ain't she pretty? And we are so excited about what the Lord is having us do with this. Articles, pictures, and reports from the trips that we go on. We do a feature every time on a ministry that we're in partnership with and going global through the power of partnership. We want to get this to you absolutely free. PearsonsMinistries.com. Just sign up there. We'll just start sending it to you. If you want to look at it online, you can do that at our website as well. Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, have been preaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And because of that, we have taken all that and made it available to you. There's revelation available to you right now. Put it all in one place. It's at kcm.org. So if you want to go there and stream, broadcast, read articles, whatever you want to do, get the Word of God in your life, and that's the place to do it. Amen. Thanks so much for watching this broadcast today. I invite you to join me again tomorrow. Until then, this is Jeremy Pearsons reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. The Believer's Voice of Victory is available on DVD or CD at kcm.org. You can also view the webcasts online at your convenience or download them as video or audio files. Continue to grow in God's Word and build your faith with this week's product offer. These Word-based teachings will help you live in victory. Order your copy today. Receive the great grace God is abounding toward you and live in the blessing.